meeting here about 6 weeks ago, and it was just incredible. There were kind of spirit filled peace that came here. People being healed and slain in the spirit and the whole works. It was just beautiful to see. So I'm down here on business as well as I'm living down here at the same time. My brother and I are doing a big, big construction project down here because we had a work to come down here and do it. So I'm here doing that. We're waiting on our investors to approve it. And the whole purpose is to raise money for the kingdom. We're going to dedicate all the money to all the profits to supporting God's work. So you guys keep us in your prayers.
We certainly will. What's the name of the ministry?
Beg your pardon?
What is the name of the ministry?
Well, we're a company. It's called International Retirement Villages. And we're just building a large condo projects here. And again, he's retired and I'm semi-retired, but we were called to come down here to do this to raise money to support ministries. So okay. It's been a miracle how God has opened the doors here. Of course, the enemy has followed us all the way. I've been down here since September of last year. But it's just been amazing to see God's hand. And I came down initially to start the business, and God has opened all kinds of doors for ministry as well. So we started a Bible study. I started a Bible study in my condo, and it's starting to grow. So people are hungry down here. They got a lot of faith, but they just didn't have much teaching at all. So I've been using David Ells's books, and some teachings and podcasts and so forth to help, if you will. And boy, these people are so hungry. It's amazing. It's just incredible what God's doing already.
Well, awesome. That is awesome. Give me the name of your company again. We're going to lift you up in prayer.
Okay. It's International Retirement Villages.
Retirement Villages. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
This is the first one we've done.
Hey, have you ever been on here before? I don't remember.
I was on here several years ago, and I moved around somewhat, but I've been listening to David L's teaching for gosh, probably 10 plus years, if you will.
Okay.
Got all the books, if you will, Sovereign Man and Hidden Manna, two or three times, if you will. So I'm using all that same material to help start this revival down here.
Amen. Amen, brother.
And as you know, everybody down here, I'm not knocking anybody, but they're all Catholic. So, boy, it's a whole different ballgame trying to teach them the whole word of God instead of, you know, what they're taught for many, many years. But they're so hungry. They really have a lot of faith. Again, just no teaching, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway. So okay, now they're listening to David Ells's teaching, the Sovereign Man. It's just amazing how it's starting to catch on.
Yeah, that Sovereign God book is an awesome book. It really is. Thank you,
yes,
Lord. Okay, all right, let's go ahead and get started here. Let me get everybody muted. Okay. All right, I hit the record button this time. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you for the work that you're going to do. And Lord, we thank you that tonight is going to be an awesome time with you. We just praise you, Father, for leading us into whatever it is that you'd have us to talk about tonight. You know, we had an agenda last week, but you know, we know that you can change it at any time, Lord. And we welcome that. And we thank you, Father, for leading us into whatever it is that you'd have us to talk about. And we thank you for it, Lord. I want to lift up International Retirement Villages, Lord. I know that this group here has an open heaven. And, Father, we just ask that you bless International Retirement Villages Company in the name of Jesus, beyond their absolute belief. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to have the correct amount of money to get this gospel out wherever and whenever you want it done, Lord. And I know it's going to take a lot of money, but I know that you're the best banker we've ever had. And I know that you, Lord, can supply everything that we need when it comes to the gospel. And Father, we thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for your protection upon Charles and all the men involved down there with International Retirement Villages. And I ask for your supernatural protection upon all of them in the name of Jesus. That, and Lord, I ask and I pray that you raise up warrior prayer warriors down there in Medellin, in that city, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Father, that we're going to see another revival sweep across that town, city, in the name of Jesus, just like it did back in the 70s. And Father, we praise you for it. And we thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing through these wonderful people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, has anybody got any prayer requests? How about testimonies or praise reports? I need to start this over again. Go ahead, Barbara. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay.
I'm sorry, I couldn't unmute. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me? Okay. I have a praise report. Everything went well with my daughter's surgery this morning. And God even answered my prayer that I prayed that she would call upon him. And she called upon God. Because she told God, she says, God, all I have, you know, because they're not letting anyone in the hospital. Her husband couldn't go in the hospital with her, you know, with this COVID thing. And so she prayed and told God, you know, that he was all that she had. And she also asked if she asked if her dad could be there, you know, and she told me, she says, Mom, she says, Dad was in the room with me. And of course, my first thought was, you know, she was hallucinating on the anesthesia. But, you know, I got to thinking, you know, God can do anything. And if that's how he wanted to bless her, you know, I believe that he allowed her to see Bruce, you know, there in the room with her. Mm-hmm. And she even said, I said, what did he look like? You know, and she said, he had on the shirt that, her college shirt that she had got for him, you know. It was all, I couldn't believe that she had said all that. And but I'm just glad that she called upon God, you know, because I told her. And I think, Michael, you prayed that too, that she would call upon God. And yeah. So I just God is so good. And I just thank the Lord, you know, him. I mean, he's just awesome. He's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Nothing is too big for him. Yeah, if he wants to bless you that way, you know, I'm not going to question it anymore. But no, praise the Lord. No.
God's a big God. He don't put him in a box. He can do whatever he wants to do, whatever it takes to get somebody's attention.
Yeah.
Amen.
He blessed her.
Thank you, Bobby.
But I want to continue. It is. I wanted to continue to pray, though, that she would have a speedy recovery and that she wouldn't be in so much pain, because she said her stomach was in a lot of pain. And she called me. So I thank you, Father, that you're going to give her a speedy recovery and that she will not be in immense pain. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life. I thank you that you're drawing her unto you. And I praise you and I thank you, Father, for all your goodness to us. in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
I just want to praise and thank the Lord and let you know the testimony. You all prayed with me on Tuesday night that my neighbor Fred would be able to receive from me. I cooked on Wednesday, and the Lord had me send him a message first. I called him. I sent him an email, let him know I was cooking, and I wanted to share lunch with him. And he responded back and said that he would, and that would be fine. And there's that whole fear of being, you know, near somebody. So he just, you know, just told me to, he goes, just when it's ready, just bring it over. So I did, and he was able to receive from me. And I just thank you, Lord, that, you know, he doesn't have to fear this COVID-19 and being around people and just showing him that there's nothing to fear at all. And another testimony is last evening, my right hand, I started getting attacked with pain, arthritis pain, and it eventually went to my thumb. So I couldn't grab anything. I couldn't bend my thumb. I couldn't do anything with it. It was in quite a bit of pain. And this had happened before. And the Lord told me I was just being attacked. And so I just started praying. And then I contacted a dear sister, and she prayed with me. And before I went to bed, it had, the pain had subsided, but it didn't completely go away until, well, I'm healed in Jesus' name. We'll just say that. And the enemy is still, anyhow, it's like, it's just been trials of this for me. And I just can't keep thanking God enough for all the lessons he's been teaching me about being patient and enduring. And he won't fail me. He won't fail. He can't. He keeps telling me that. And he won't fail. He can't fail. And he won't fail you either. So endure. He's faithful.
Amen. Can I pray for you? Okay. I was waiting on you. Hang on, Judy.
Yes, please. Right, yes, please.
In the name of Jesus right now, I command that spirit of arthritis to completely leave Julie right now in Jesus' name. You don't have any right to be there, so you got to go right now in the name of Jesus. You go, and I'm telling you, don't come back. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the victory. Julie has the victory. She's been delivered of this, and she don't have to worry about it anymore. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I command every bit of the pain to leave. And I command complete healing throughout her whole body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because I believe it's done. Everybody believe it? Praise you, Lord. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Father, that she's healed in Jesus' name. Okay.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, I am. I'm healed.
Yes, Lord. Okay, Missy.
I'd like to pray for Barbara's daughter, Sarah. Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing in Sarah. And I just command all the pain to go from Sarah now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I praise you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that she is going to be praising and thanking you, Lord, and knowing, Lord, that you are hearing and you are answering, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that she's in a place where she has to trust you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for blessing her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, Judy, go ahead.
Well, I want to praise the Lord for getting my daughter out of jail 3 days early, and that she's not going to smoke. So that'll help Angie not smoking. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to continue her to believe in you and to pray with you and to read the Bible, to stay close to you like she was in jail. And I thank you, Lord, for having her be a strong support for my other daughter, Angie.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. And thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in both of them. In Jesus' name, drawing them nigh unto you, Lord. And we praise you for doing that. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that'll lead them both closer and closer to you. Where they're running after you with all their heart, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody else? Hi, Dave. All right. Go, Joe.
I wanted to let my coworker who showed up Tuesday, Ronnie, you know, those who were wondering who that was, I've been chatting with him lately. You know, he recently got saved. And, you know, through this whole virus and all that stuff, he just kind of got an interesting testimony, you know, about how God's led him over the years. And, yeah, he got saved recently. So I want to lift him up. He asked me to pray for him. I said, Lord, about him, you know, the Lord give him peace of mind where he's at. You know, he's just kind of, you know, the first couple weeks or, you know, month like Chris, you know, I mean, well, I can, you know, remember when it was just like there's not much stability there, you know, and you're just kind of wondering, okay, what am I doing here? You know, am I doing the right thing? Am I where I'm supposed to be? You know, and he's had feelings like, am I really saved? You know, so I'm, I guess, said some things that kind of help him put that up a bit. But yeah, I want to lift him up, you know, for the Lord. That most of all, you know, the Lord would just give him peace where he's at right now. You know, just to, you know, just I've been trying to encourage him, just keep doing what you're doing, you know, and things will get better. So it's good. Just go and agree with me here. Father, I just thank you for Ronnie. I thank you for just the opportunities throughout the last so many months you've given me of just reaching out to people, planting seeds, and talking about you. You know, just having many conversations. It seems like it's just a wide open door, and it's I've been having various conversations with people. And so I thank you for just this opportunity with Ronnie, who recently, you know, I believe I have evidence of it, you know, of his salvation. He had a change of heart concerning sin in his life. He recently gave his father, who for, you know, many years was very abusive towards it, Lord. You know, that's a big thing. You know, so I thank you for that fruit that you're already manifesting in his life. And so I ask that most of all, right now, where he is, Lord, you know, he is searching you the best he knows how as a brand new Christian. And so, Lord, I ask that you would just meet him where he is. Pour out your love upon him, most of all. Help him to understand, most importantly right now, how much you love him. You know, it's just, as I spoke to him today, it's easy to view you in light of how our earthly fathers were. You know, and like his, mine was distant too. So I just, I pray that you'd begin to reveal yourself to him, you know, in a mighty way. And you'd show him just how much you love him. You know, that you're not who he may think you are, but, you know, that you're a loving, compassionate, long-suffering God who desires to know him and, you know, to bless him, especially. So I ask that right now in this process of seeking you, that you give him a peace of mind where he is, you know, that he would just continue to do what he knows to do and just give him wisdom, Lord. I ask for, you know, just the wisdom on what to listen to, you know, put it on his heart even to begin to listen to the UBM teaching about the real good news. You know, really just impress that upon his heart and say, I need to listen to this. You know, I need to see what this is about. And Lord, there, speak to him. Let the words, you know, just the words that David speaks just jump out to him and, you know, give him exactly what he needs at the moment. You know, so I thank you for what you're doing there. I thank you for blessing him. You know, Lord, and even if not just me, somebody else, bring another like-minded believer in his path. You know, he said he's pretty lonely, you know, and he wants to go to one of the churches in the area. And so, Lord, just help him to just remain where he is and just realize that, you know, he's where he needs to be right now, you know, and that, you know, it's best not to go 20s, you know, one of the apostate churches out here. So I thank you for what you're doing in his life, and I thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Pat.
Sorry, couldn't find my button there. Joe, has he been baptized?
No, he actually hasn't. He was actually talking about that. You know, I think that's one reason why he wants to find a church. He actually showed interest to, you know, when he come down to Tennessee, you know, whenever the door opens again for me, you know, he wanted to. And I thought, well, hey, come about, you know, this group and let's talk about it. And Lord willing, it could happen there, you know. So, yeah. But, yeah, he's just, yeah, saved after, you know, a couple of weeks now. And he wants to get baptized. So, yeah. He's got a real hunger. That's what I was really shocked about, I guess, you know, because I was expecting just another person who, you know, I could share things with. And, you know, they didn't really have much of a hunger. But, no, it's there. He's got a hunger for the truth to really change, you know. So I really thought that was really, you know, awesome. So
Michael, can any one of us baptize a believer? I mean, yeah. I wouldn't think that he would have to go to a church, right?
Yeah.
No. I've baptized in horse troughs. I've baptized in the lake. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can baptize.
The weather's getting there.
Yeah, it is. Amen.
What was kind of on my mind today is that I was looking at numbers. Oh, if anybody's been watching TV, you know, for the last 2 months, it's COVID, pandemic, COVID, pandemic, and then it goes into COVID and pandemic and just constant. And society or the new media or whatever has so flooded the social mindset with fear of pandemic. And I was just looking at some of the, I'm thinking about the statistics, and even the statistics right now that everyone that gets this COVID, only 1% die. And we hear the horror stories of that 1% every day, 24 hours a day. But I haven't heard anybody say anything about the 99% that sailed through it or whatever. And so I guess what I was thinking today, I know that the Lord has used this situation. I know that the deep state, if you want to call it that, the devil or whatever, has also used it to, you know, for his purposes to kill. And so I was just starting to wonder, maybe to ask the Lord if it's not time to prayerfully trust him to turn this fear around by truth and start to revive society, raise the awareness of society, because obviously they're getting blindsided by one perspective right now. And any way you look at it, you have to make decisions yourself on a full gamut of information, and we're not getting it right now in America, shall we say, unless you're into you know, searching other means, or, you know, the Lord and his spirit is opening up your eyes and continuing to guide him, guide you by his spirit. So I felt like I wanted to pray for the people of America, and really the people of the world, to start to turn people's hearts towards hope, towards the Lord, towards truth. And so, I mean, I just thought I would throw it out. I didn't know what everybody is thinking, but, you know, again, I don't want to jump in front of the Lord or be praying against what, you know, something that he may be doing in the long run. But I also, personally, from my perspective, I'm just getting a little tired of it, you know, considering I've been at my work. We are, I'm in obviously in construction, and our business has still continued to go. Building in a lot of the things that we're building are in, I guess, the needed area of society or whatever it would be. And so we've continued to build, and contract coming in, but we've had to take certain steps, certain protocols. People have to wear masks, face coverings. You have to try to maintain a social distancing. You have to wash your hands. For the last 3 or 4 weeks, I had been in New Jersey, and because my job hadn't started up yet, because of the government, the state government mandate. So all I've been doing is spraying disinfectant on, you know, horizontal surfaces and taking people's temperatures and whatnot. I haven't found anybody yet, even over in the hell spot of New Jersey in the big fire pit, haven't found anybody that's sick. Nobody's running a fever. So I know that there is a desire on the political left right now to run this thing as they've tried to promote their agenda and accomplish their purposes and their desires, and they've been thwarted in every direction. And quite frankly, I think they've got to a place where there is a mindset there that if people have to die in order for them to get their way, that people would die, because they want their way above all else. So I don't know, I just felt like I feel like we need to stand against this fear and start to turn the tide myself. So
okay. Well, this party, the governor, would open it up as much as other states are. Anyway, Lord, we just ask that in the name of Jesus, that you place it in every governor's heart to open this thing up in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. So, what is it, New Jersey?
Pennsylvania. I'm talking about the whole United States, the whole country.
Okay.
Father, I just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have given us the authority. You've given us your Holy Spirit to walk in the ways of your word. We thank you that, Lord, you've created us to be warriors, to stand against the wiles of the devil who would try to bring us down and to destroy us, and he would destroy all that stood in his way, Lord. But you've given us the Spirit and promised to reveal unto us the snare of the fowler and keep us in that secret place protection. And Lord, I just stand against this spirit of fear which is permeated our society right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind it. I stand against it. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I stand against you. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Word of God, the power of the Spirit, I rebuke you to stand back, to go back. Do not approach anymore. Your fear will be cut down right now in the name of Jesus. That fear mongering, I pray, Lord, that you would open up the eyes of an American people to see the fear that is being pressed upon them, and to start to look at logic, start to look at statistics, start to look at certain facts, that even a flu virus, even in every year, 60,000 people die of the flu. What did the virus do? What did the vaccine do? It didn't do anything. Lord, give us wisdom, Lord, and spread this country, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord, and have mercy upon us, and turn this fear-mongering back, and we thank you for it. Send in the flood of righteousness, Lord, to stand against this. Lord, we thank you for Ephesians, the whole armor of God you've given us, Lord, and having taken that word and taken that your Spirit, your things, the word of truth, and put on our armor. And you've given us grace and truth and wisdom and faith to stand even after we've taken up all these things. And you've given us the Word of God to slice the legs out from underneath that Satan that would come at us at this time. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have made us warriors. Thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. We thank you for the grace that you're pouring out upon us, a nation right now. I pray for Trump, Lord, that you would strengthen him through this time. You would give him wisdom and grace and a heart to reach out to the Democratic voting people, the voters on the Democratic side that surely are feeling a bit demoralized at what is happening in their ranks, in their leadership. Give them wisdom, Lord. Give them grace to embrace truth and set politics aside, but embrace truth. We thank you for that. We thank you for your Spirit, Lord, that you pour out, and the angels that you pour out upon us and send to accomplish these things that you have poured out and given us in our heart, Lord. So we thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'd like to pray. And Father, okay. I just believe that we pray against that this lying spirit, the spirit of fear that we come against is just coming on the wings of a lying spirit, Lord. It's all out of lies, born out of lies, Lord, and untruths, Lord. And so just agree with Pat's prayers, God, that we bind that. We come against the spirit of the lying spirit that is speaking through all these people. We bind you and rebuke the spirit of lies. We bind you and command you to stand down in the name of Jesus. Yes. Thank you that you will awaken people to begin to search and see truth, Lord. The truth arise, God, in Jesus' name, that this lying spirit and spirit of fear be brought down in Jesus' name. Thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Joe Britt.
Morning, everybody. My special prayer request, please, for Nora. She's been diagnosed with COVID-19 on Wednesday. Please.
Okay. All right, Father, we lift up Nora to you. Father, we thank you that we've already prayed the prayer of faith for her, and we thank you for what you're doing in her life. Now we come against this COVID-19 virus right now in the name of Jesus, and we command it from her body right now in Jesus' name. We command it to leave and all the symptoms to go with it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, that your protection is upon Joe too. And he don't have to worry about it. He's under Psalm 91. And he has the protection of you, Lord. and Nora as well, because she's under his authority. And Father, we thank you for your complete healing of Nora and deliverance of Nora in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Joe?
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Okay, Malcolm.
My comment is for, I don't know, 10 minutes ago or so, somebody was asking about who can baptize. And, of course, in some denominations, if you're not authorized by that denomination, you can't baptize. In fact, if you do, you're kicked out. Anyway, if you look at the Bible, Jesus sent his disciples out, the 70 and the 12, and he commanded them to heal the sick and do all these things and baptize. It was one of his commands. So it's not who can, it's you're commanded to. So it's not like optional.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep, anybody can do it. That's a child of God. Go ahead, Judy.
Getting back to the whole COVID-19 thing, and I had read on one of these other news sources that part of the reason that it's a controlling and manipulating thing that's going on that we need to pray against, but they were talking about a lot of the reasons why they are slowly reopening the country, or they're pushing against reopening the country, is because of the election coming up this fall, that they want to keep the country closed so that they can do their mail-in ballot, their mail-in voting. So the deep state's behind, you know, that it's in the Dems, the Democrats, and that's what their agenda is. So Father, I just come against these spirits of control, manipulation, and intimidation of not opening the country so that they can have their election by mail-in, where they can try and cheat again, but we know that doesn't work. But we cast all their plans down for this in Jesus' name. We command them to be null and void, and they will not prosper, and they will not come to pass in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for giving grace, wisdom, discernment, and your help, Lord, in our president and vice president and those who are working on the side of righteousness and justice, Lord, about getting the country reopened in every capacity and through all the states. And Lord, that the election this fall is going to go forth as you planned it, Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name for answering us and doing beyond what we can ask or think to ask. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Barbara.
Can women baptize too?
Women? That's the only one there.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering.
The thing about baptism is to teach what it means before you do it. You have to tell them what it means before you do it.
But women can't teach.
No. I don't guess. So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think so. But look, God is big. He's a big God. And it's best to get a man to do it so that he can counsel them as to what baptism means. So there you go. But if that's all you got's a woman and ain't nobody else around, dip them. Then get somebody to tell them what it was about. You can tell them your experience, you know.
But
do you not have any men around you, Barbara?
I don't have any Christians around me. And no, I don't have any men around me either.
Well, in that whole city, there's not any men? Come on now.
That's a Christian. He has to be a Christian. He can't just be any man. Well, okay. No, I don't know.
I'm just messing with you, girl. Go ahead, Leah. Yeah, Leon, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Leon.
Okay, thank you. Baptism replaces circumcision. You girls could not get circumcised, but you can get baptized. So that's an inclusive thing. So it replaces circumcision, in case you wondered.
Okay. All right, anyone else?
Yeah, I just wanted to say something more about baptism. There's so many ways you can do it. Bathtubs are nice.
Yeah, you can warm them up. Here.
But yeah. A really good one is a garbage can, a big garbage container, or even, you know, just so you can get them in there. And think about the symbolism, garbage can.
That'd have to be a big garbage can or a little person to be a major.
How do you get them out? Can.
Yeah. You have to get a tractor with a boom pole on it to get them out.
Well, when you're done, you just dump them out.
I guess. Just kick it over, huh?
That'd be a memorable item.
Yeah. And there's no other way. Yeah, Tracy. Ah, Tracy, good to see you again, girl.
She said they do them on Zoom.
Do what on Zoom?
Tracy baptized? Said, yeah, they've even baptized on Zoom. She just wrote that in there.
How do you step on her head to get them on the water?
Ask her.
We like to hold them under sometimes, you know, just depending on the person.
What state are you in, Tracy?
She's in Missouri, I think.
Okay. I had, when I had ready to get baptized, I was kind of associated with Brent's ministry, and the brother had a whole bunch of contacts like all across the United States, so you know, maybe Brandy or someone who knows all the different people that come in from different places, and you know, maybe he can try to find her someone near or drive somewhere, you know, a few hours to.
Amen. Yeah, you can do it any way you want to, you know, as long as it's done. You know, if you remember in the Word, in the New Testament, when they got saved, they tried to get to some water real quick and get them baptized, because that's a command, is to get baptized. And they wanted to do it and do it quick. There's all kinds of lakes and creeks and things like that, and like somebody said, it's getting warm enough to go out there and dunk them in the lake if you need to. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I'm not sure I heard correctly. Was there a sentiment there that somewhere in the Bible it said that women cannot baptize?
Do what?
I don't know if I heard correctly. Was some that you can't be a woman cannot baptize.
I think Lynn was talking about some certain things that was going on. Go ahead, Lynn.
That's not in the Bible, anyway.
Yeah,
it doesn't say that in the Bible.
Right. Anyway. Yeah.
Go ahead, Greg.
Okay. Hopefully I'm not, I'm coming through clearly. We have done baptisms. I mean, as Tracy's asked me to put this across, I think that's what she wants me to explain. In the Zoom room, I've done them with people in London from where I am.
Okay.
The thing that's not physically happening is my hand there pushing the water. But I couldn't find a problem with that.
Well, I don't think there's anything in the Bible, Greg, that says that you can do that across Zoom. I'm just messing with you. I don't. If that's the only way you got to get baptized, well, go for it. You know, who's wanting to get baptized? Dave is wanting to get baptized. Go ahead, Dave.
I think it got brought up because Joe was talking about bringing somebody down.
Oh, Ronnie, yeah. Ronnie's out. Yeah.
I can do it myself then.
Just study up on it and tell him what it's about, you know.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Well, I've got one question about it. And it's because every time I was in the churches, when they, you know, before they dunk you, they say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm sure this is like just minor compared to the rest. What exactly, I guess, have you said you've baptized somebody?
In the name of Jesus.
Okay. I think I've heard
either,
David say
something. You know, either one, I used them both.
Yeah.
Paul did.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, remember the name is the nature, character, and authority.
True. Mm-hmm.
So.
Both of them are about God, right?
True. Yeah. True. Okay. Makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Paula.
While we're on this subject, this morning I read this verse and I actually have a question about this. It's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 29. Else, what shall they do that are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? What does that mean?
Now, what was that reference again?
1 Corinthians 15, verse 29.
Okay, what's your question? What does that mean?
I don't understand. What does it mean? Else, what shall they do that are baptized for the dead? For me, on face value, it almost seems like someone is being baptized almost like proxy or something like that. Or am I completely missing it?
All right, has anybody got an answer to that?
I know the Mormons do that. Go ahead, Malcolm. Are you going to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say the text is, you can't really tell from the text what it all means. I mean, I have no idea how you figure that out because he was talking to a specific, you know, to the Corinthian church, and he was addressing a situation. We have actually discussed this quite a bit before on this conference call, but textually it's just kind of hard to figure out what Paul was just making an argument, I think, based on current practices there in Corinth.
It makes a lot of sense.
It's hard to get a doctrine out of that one, though.
It makes a lot of sense if you read it, because he's saying, you're going to baptize the dead. Why do you do it? They're not raised. But somebody that's alive that you're baptizing, they're raised. They out of the water, right? So we're reenacting, in a sense, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And you're claiming that it's no longer you live, but Christ lives in you when you come out of the water and you're walking in newness of life.
That's your statement. It's the reconciliation has been achieved. You're recognizing that through the baptism, you know, you're claiming that it is yours. But he's also looking at, well, what if there's people here baptizing, like you said, in proxy for the dead? Why would you do that? He's saying the dead aren't raised. And I agree with that. And I think that's what Malcolm was alluding to also. They might have been doing something back then. You know, the opportunity for baptism is while you're alive, I think. Not that I'm saying salvation isn't when you die, because I'm not going to, like we said, we want to put God in a box how it works. But anyways, anybody else has something to say?
Well, I think you're right on. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I had read a commentary when we were talking about this the last time. And I think it was Matthew Henry. And I'm like, because sometimes the way he explains things is like, huh? You know, but finally I got it. And it totally makes sense. The dead is Jesus. Okay, he's raised, right? Why are we baptized if he wasn't raised? He was dead, but now he's alive. We're buried in baptism and raised in newness of life, right? So it's kind of, it's the way he says it, it's very hard to understand, but I think that's what he's saying there. So in other words, he's saying, what's the purpose of being baptized? The Lord told us to be baptized. What's the purpose of being baptized if he hadn't been raised from the dead?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Run that by again, Missy.
Oh, no. Okay, if the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? And what the dead here was Jesus. In other words, what he's saying is what's the purpose of being baptized if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead? That's how I would explain it. That's the crux of what he's saying here. There'd be no point in being baptized if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. So he really isn't dead. He was dead, but he was raised. And if he wasn't raised, what would be even the point of being baptized? In other words, it's like when they're talking about the Sadducees not believing in the resurrection. You know, if Jesus hadn't been resurrected, then we're the sorriest of all people. We're hopeless, you know.
Okay, all right, could be, yeah.
Can I get in on this?
Yeah, Leon, you sure can.
Paul's not saying that he believes that you should baptize the dead. What he's saying is just what Missy's saying, is that if you don't believe in the resurrection, why are you baptizing the dead? You know, you people are baptizing it. I don't believe in it. But if you're going to be baptizing the dead and you don't believe in the resurrection, then you're just foolish. You know, it's just a statement that he's making about what they're doing, not about what he believes. So I hope that. Kind of
well, that sounds, that. Yeah, that sounds like what Missy was talking about.
Yeah, pretty close, the same thing, yeah. But I'm saying that Paul didn't believe in baptizing the dead. That's something that the Gentiles were doing. They were baptizing their dead, and yet they weren't believing in the resurrection. So it didn't make sense.
Amen.
Yeah, like you said, there's no indication he's talking to the church, talking about the practices there in Corinth. But it'd be pushing it to say that the church that he's addressing was actually doing that. I mean, it could be. There's, you know, I don't. But
let me mute Missy. Tomorrow, I should say. I guess we need to start out at 12 and read the whole context to get the context of the whole thing. And that's exactly what Leon and Missy was talking about. They were doing some extracurricular activities there. It didn't make a bit of sense. Okay. Tim, go ahead. I'll get with you in a minute, Greg.
No worries.
No, it wasn't long after I got here. We were doing the Wednesday Bible study, and I kind of had a revelation about when Jesus sent out the disciples and, you know, do their works. And one of the works he gave them was, you know, heal the sick and then raise the dead. And I kind of was thinking outside the box and, you know, not thinking about just the recently died, but that through our prayers and our belief and our faith that people that have died, you know, without being saved, that we could pray for them and actually, you know, give them resurrection life in heaven, not on earth maybe necessarily, but in heaven. And so that would kind of fit in with Paul is, you know, asking about here, that, you know, to get resurrection life in heaven, you know, the believers have to pray, but the baptism would cleanse them of their sins on earth to you know, pave the way for that baptism or resurrection life. It's just, you know, it's kind of stretching the scripture a little bit, but I don't think it's beyond God.
Amen. I remember you talking about that. Can you pray for the dead to be saved? And that was a question that was raised one morning in the morning meeting. And David's response was, well, God can do anything. He doesn't stay. He's not in a fixed time period. You see what he's saying? God doesn't, he's not in time. There's no time in God. So he can go forward or he can go backward, you know, whatever. So I don't, you know, that's kind of way out there, but I can believe that. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, since I did have that kind of epiphany, I've prayed for people that I was pretty sure were lost when they died and hadn't been saved. And it seems like, you know, in the spirit I've heard that you know, my prayers were heard and that, you know, there's hope for them and there's, you know, maybe even, you know, God, like I said, doesn't dwell in time and, they were saved, and you know, after maybe a while in hell, they were redeemed, you know, because of our prayers. Because that's what Jesus told us to do: is pray, raise the dead. So, I'm going to continue for that.
Yep. If you continue and you hold on to your faith, I believe it's going to happen. Listen, there was if you remember when Christ died, and there was a bunch of folks that came up out of the grave. And that doesn't say. If my recollection, and this just came to me, if my recollection serves me well, that those people were saved, but they came out praising God, I suspect, and might have been people that were consigned to hell for a period, came out, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there, okay? It could have been people that had been prayed for before. So, I don't put God in a box. I started when that lady asked that question, she said, can I pray for my dad, who I don't believe was saved, to be saved? And David's answer was that not that David's the final authority by any stretch of the imagination. But he came up with a good answer, and that was that God does not dwell in time. And if he doesn't dwell in time, why couldn't he go back and have them repent before they die? You know, I don't know. He can do that. But anyway, yeah. Let me get Greg, Missy. He's been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Greg.
Purgatory.
I know purgatory. Yeah. Come on. Man.
I don't know if I have a lot more to add, but I went straight to the footnote, which we've discussed a little bit. It says here, this has nothing to do with Christian baptism or salvation. Paul may be referring to practices of a pagan religion that requires ritual washing to enter an afterlife. And if that's the case, and I think that's what it's making, because we do have to read it in context of the whole chapter, I'd say, which is talking about resurrection. And it's innate in human beings. I think this is what he's saying. It's innate in human beings that there is a resurrection. If you look at the Egyptian rites, you know, when someone died, or even the ancient Britons or the Vikings, you know, they bury them with stuff so they could have it in the afterlife. I'm not saying that's you know, they did have a skew, but it's innate in us that there is some sort of afterlife. And I think that's what Paul's pointing out, in my humble opinion.
Amen. I had a terrible time understanding you. You sound like you were in a well. Way far back from the mic, but that's okay. I'm sure some of them did.
Hang on a sec. I might be
Yeah, you got to get closer to that mic so it can be better. Oh, we can hear everything.
Is this any better?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, much better.
Okay, I'll stay with that. Yeah, okay, I was just pointing out, I don't know what came through before, but in my Bible there's a footnote saying that Paul may be referring to a pagan religious practice of ritual washing for someone to enter afterlife. And in the context of the whole chapter, which is talking about resurrection, I think what Paul's saying in there is that it's innate in human beings that there is an afterlife, a resurrection of sorts. And that's reflected in all sorts of practices, you know, like as I was saying before, the Egyptians and their rites, you know, with embalming bodies, etc. You know, the ancient Britons and graves that we've, well, not exhumed, but archaeologically looked at with all sorts of bits and pieces in it. The Vikings and their Valhalla. I just think it's innate in us, you know, that the argument that there is no resurrection, which I think what Paul's talking about there is, we kind of know. But I'll stop at that.
Okay.
I think it's freshness.
All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, as far as, you know, that prayer of for her dad, you know, and all, and God not dwelling in time, there's no time with God. Isaiah 65:24 says, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Before they call, I will answer. So that's saying God doesn't dwell in time.
Yeah, Paul.
I just have a question on that. God doesn't dwell in time, but our existence here and our fruit bearing is time bound. So how does that work? Because say someone dies and they're not saved, and we pray then here for them, they can't come back and bear the fruit that needs to go to heaven. So I'm just not sure on that. How does that work? The fruit bearing part.
Well, the fruit bearing part. When what happened to the thief on the cross? He just asked him. He said, "Man, I'd like to go, you know, up there with you." You know, that was the fruit that God was looking for. Jesus was looking for, and that brought him in. What would happen if, back when, let's say, my father died, and there was a somebody came by that we don't know about and gave the gospel message to him. And he accepted and then died. I don't know. You know, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know what happened. But it could happen any way God wants it to. But I just, you know, like we said, if you put God in a box, you're limited. God into what he can and can't do. Because he relies on us and our faith to bring these people in. And I thought, you know, I that just opened my eyes up to a different God. Because I understood then that, hey, what am I doing putting God in a box when I can, you know, the trick, and it's not a trick, it's the faith that you're going to need to do something like that has to come from him, doesn't it? And so that's like Tim was talking about. You have to endure in your faith to the end. I believe that I'm going to see people that I have been praying for, just like Tim started to, that I've been praying for up there as well. Yeah, Leon.
I don't know if this will make any sense, but if you never heard that, and you just went through your life believing that your father was dead and that there's no possibility for him to get saved, then obviously he wouldn't. But God is a merciful God, and if you go through life believing that God is a merciful God and believe that he can do that as well, then can he do it? Is anything impossible for God? Isn't that what the angel said to Mary? Is anything impossible for God?
Yep.
And Mary didn't answer. That was a rhetorical question, but she really said, no, it's not, you know? So is anything, I'm asking you, Paula, is anything impossible for God? So if you believe it in your heart, then it's going to be so. It's just like salvation. It's just like healing. It's just like anything. If you believe it in your heart, it'll be so, you know? So if you need to grasp onto that because your father wasn't saved, then you go ahead and grasp onto that. But if your father was saved and you know he was saved, then you don't need that, right? So you just grasp onto the things that you believe and go for it. So
let me give you a prime example in my life. I had a grandson that died of an overdose, and we had dreams that he was in hell, shooting up and blowing up, coming back, doing the same thing over and over again. But we also had dreams that he was in heaven. Now, how can that be other than faith to believe that God's going to put him down there for a while and bring him back? I don't know. You know, I ain't questioning God. I ain't questioning nothing. I'm just believing. And so that's what I'm doing. We had dreams that he was in heaven, dreams that he was in hell. I believe for a while that he was in hell. But I have since believed that at the resurrection of the saints, he's going to be resurrected. You know, I'm just saying. And I'm going to see him in heaven too. That takes a lot of faith, and only God can put that faith in you to believe that. And if he does that, and I do, I believe he's going to be up there, then he's going to be up there. Let me get Judy over here, Judy, and then I'll get you. Go ahead, Judy. Go ahead, Judy.
Okay. It was for me. I remember hearing about this, maybe some of you heard this before, about this man that his mother was praying for his salvation, and he ended up dying from having jellyfish, these poisonous, really bad poisonous jellyfish. He went through a big ordeal. I don't remember what his name was, but he went through this, and he saw himself, he saw himself go and talk with Jesus. And he said the Lord, all he could do was say the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if he was completely dead or, you know, if his spirit left his body, but his mother was praying for him when this whole incident happened. And he felt like he had died, and he talked with Jesus. And as he talked with Jesus, because there was some change going on when he said the Lord's Prayer. And then I think the Lord said something to the effect of, like, you can stay or you can go back. And he said, well, what do I have to go back for? And he wanted to stay with Jesus. And he said, well, your mother's been praying for you. She wants you to go back. She doesn't even know that he's dead, had died. He had died. And the thing is, he didn't get saved on this earth. Nobody prayed him into that kingdom, except maybe his mother was praying while he was dying. But he didn't, like, again, she didn't know it, and he didn't speak it to anybody, except he said the Lord's Prayer. But he went back to earth. But here's the thing, you know, you don't know what's going on in the spirit realm even after they've died. You know, here he could have stayed there with Jesus, but Jesus really felt like he needed to go back. Jesus didn't say he was going to go to hell. At least I don't recall that, you know, but it's on, his story is on YouTube. Yeah. I can't remember his name, but that made me think about what you're all saying, you know.
Amen.
Nothing's impossible with God, you know. Amen. How awesome, you know. Anyway.
Ian McCormick.
Yes.
Greg came up with that.
Yeah.
Ian McCormick.
Yeah, that was an awesome.
Okay, I got five people with their hands up. Is that it, Sue? That's a good story too, by the way. I saw that years ago. Go ahead, Angelica.
I wanted to address Sister Paula's question. I think I heard David say at one time that, you know, bearing fruit is, you know, we're bearing fruit in the spirit, soul, and body. So I think he said that one time that when you become born again, you have 30-fold fruit because you have a born again spirit. And don't quote me, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but,
yeah,
you know,
I believe
being
right.
Born again and the soul is, you know, 60 and the body is 100%. So I just wanted to mention that just.
Yeah, and it's according to your walk from that point on, whether you gain or lose.
Yep. Also, I need to just really quickly repent for being so angry today. I got so just angry. I reset my computer because Isaiah had some game stuff on it or whatever, and I just did a total reset, not realizing what all was not going to come back on it. And so I just kind of, oh my goodness. Anyway, Lord, forgive me for anger. And I just ask you, Father, to please restore my laptop, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's see. Who's next? Go ahead, Malcolm. I'll get you while you're right there, but Angelica, and I'll come on up there.
Yeah, I had to repent of getting frustrated. I don't know if I was angry, but I was carrying a heavy bucket of water and then a smaller bucket of water, and I was in the garage, and somehow the little bucket banged into something, and then it spilled all over the inside of my Birkenstock. It was a little thing. Anyway, I just wanted to address the baptism thing and the criteria for becoming a follower of Jesus. The people have taken, because people have argued against baptism being part of salvation, being required for salvation, by pointing to the thief on the cross. You know, well, he wasn't baptized. What I think they failed to see is that was in the old covenant. Under the new covenant, after Jesus' death, and that's when the baptism became required. And it says that there is a text that says that, you know, that baptism is part of the requirement for salvation. But there's a lot of, it's not just symbolism, baptism is real, and that's a really good time to kick demons out, is once a person has been baptized and you've discussed with them, you know, that they, you know, once, if somebody truly repents under baptism and has repented and understands that now the old you will be gone, and by faith, you know, the whole implications of what baptism is, that really can set somebody free from, just free from everything. It's just complete freedom. So it's a great time to, you know, once somebody comes up out of the water, I've watched people just kick out demons one after another. It's looks pretty exciting. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, as far as I've seen people accept Jesus just minutes before they died and never got baptized, and I believe they're saved, but they were baptized in death.
You have to be careful about making a law.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He was baptized in the death of the old man, right?
Right.
And that's what baptism is. The baptism is you go down as the old man, you come back up the new man. When you come back up the new man, you walk like Jesus, don't you? You learn about Jesus and you start walking like he is and repent. As time goes on, you read the word of God. The old man's still underwater. The new man's up. And when you die on your deathbed, the old man dies, right? You've raised up the new man. So that's a baptism, sort of. Okay, Tim, you're next.
Be really brief. I just had a couple of thoughts on this subject. And the original thing that came to my mind was, you know, we've all heard, you know, I guess urban legend or, you know, near-death experience where everybody says that they, the people, as they die, their whole life flashes before their eyes. And it occurred to me that, you know, repentance can be in a nanosecond, that second between your last breath and your spirit leaving your body. And if you do indeed reflect on your whole life and are repentant in that minuscule, like I said, God doesn't dwell in time, but for us it'd just be a snap, flash, a twinkling of an eye, I think people, you know, can review their life, see where they erred. And you know, a lot of folks, and I was one of them, thought, well, I'll get into, you know, God when I get old before I die, you know. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of people that know that there's a lot more to what's going on spiritually than what they're actually living. And I think if they, you know, as they review their life in that split second, you know, there's a chance for repentance there. And I think God would honor their repentance if they were truly sorry for the way they've acted and treated other people and him. And so that's just a thought I had on that.
I had a friend of mine years ago that when he was a teenager, he had a fast car. And he thought he could beat a train across the tracks. And when he knew in that nanosecond, Tim, that train was going to hit him and it didn't look good for him, he hollered, "Jesus!" Got out of it without a scratch. And it wadded that car up that you could have put it in the back of a pickup. And his dad said, "How in the world did you get out of that without a scratch?" He said, "It had to have been Jesus. That's the only way." He just wadded that car. He walked out of there without a scratch. Okay, let's see. Who's next? Oh, my. I don't know. Let's see. Dave, go ahead. I hadn't heard from you tonight.
Joe and Melissa were first.
Joe was up first?
Joe was before me and Melissa.
Melissa who?
Missy.
Missy. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. Well, better yet, I asked it, if you could pray. I'll go ahead and agree with you. You know, you understand it better than I did. But when I went to my funeral of my cousin yesterday, and well, this thought just came to mind with, you know, the thoughts I had a couple days ago. I guess the Lord really impressed it hard upon my heart to pray for him. you know, for salvation, you know, because he passed away Monday. You know, and I remember your testimony about your grandson, and I remember Angelica speaking about it for a couple of her family members. But then, you know, this thought just came to mind. I thought, wow, wouldn't that be an awesome miracle? Because he was actually cremated. He wasn't buried. He was cremated. So I thought, huh, I wonder if that's still something to pray about. And that would be a wild miracle to see the Lord well, I mean, if he didn't bring him back to life, bring him, you know, from hell to heaven. Well, I don't know.
Before he died, he wasn't cremated, was he?
No.
Okay, before he died.
No.
You know, if you pray for him, you believe for him. What makes us so awesome is that you pray for him. God could put it in his heart to holler out to him before he died, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, I sure hope he called out to God before he passed away.
Yeah. So, yeah. A lot of people think that cremation, that man, you ain't going nowhere after that. No.
No.
There was a lot of martyrs back during exactly. the day that got burned up, you know.
That's so they're in heaven. Yeah. Yeah.
How about all the sharks that ate the soldiers?
Yeah.
They're all shark poop now, you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Missy.
Oh, gosh, that was a good one, Leon. Anyway, okay, let me say this first.
You got 2 minutes.
I've learned that, you know, not to put God in a box, like Michael keeps saying, and you never know what the Lord is speaking to someone. You know, this Holy Spirit is speaking to someone, you know, right before they die and repent. You know, you just don't know. I've learned not to write anybody off, you know. I know there are some rare instances where, you know, like, things like as a person died, you know, they were screaming and horror, you know, and stuff like that. And, or maybe they were cursing God as they died or something to that effect. But anyway, there was something that, Malcolm referred to, and I believe this is what he's talking about. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. Is that what you were referring to, Malcolm?
No, there was something from Paul. I believe. I wasn't thinking of that one. No, and I need to take back what I said because. It's Michael followed it up well, but it's not a law that you have to get baptized to be saved. That's I need to stick with scripture and say what it says there. Something about baptism unto righteousness or something. Okay. I don't have my computer running, so I'm not sure where that was in Paul's epistles. Sorry.
Okay. The Lord had me get up one morning about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to go pray for my brother-in-law that was in a coma, in a diabetic coma. And he had refused my prayer just 2 or 3 days before. And he went into a coma and they didn't expect him to live. And the Lord woke me up and said, I want you to go to Batesville and pray for Richard. I said, Lord, he don't want me praying for him. He said, get up and go up there and pray for the boy. I said, okay. He said, I'll save him. And I went and I questioned him on the way up. I said, Lord, he's in a coma. He said, his spirit can hear you. And he can respond through his spirit. And so I did. He did. My sister did also, as a matter of fact. And I was blown out of the, you know, it was out of the conventional realm of thinking for me. And But anyway, I believe he's up there now. You know, so don't put God in a box. When God tells you to do something like that, go ahead and do it, because he's got a plan. He's putting you in. He's putting you in that faith realm. Just okay, if God said it's got to be true. So that's what I did. I went up there and prayed for him. I felt, you know, I felt like I'm talking to a dead man here, but I wasn't. He wasn't dead. He was just in a coma. And I just prayed a prayer of faith for him and told him, I said, repeat after me, Richard. You know, and I did all that stuff. And then I told, and then the Lord told me, he said, tell your sister to accept him too. And I did. She did too. It's an awesome morning. It's an awesome morning. Okay. Who was next? David. Yeah, Paula, go ahead. I know you got a question. I'll get right back to you, Dave. Is it about this same stuff?
Yes, I actually just want you to pray for me.
Okay.
Because my dad, he died on 18. March. He had a severe stroke 3 months prior to that. It was his whole left side of his brain. He was like a little baby, you know, and he was this brilliant man. And now he was like a baby. He couldn't move. He couldn't talk. It was a really horrible 3 months, and we tried everything. I tried my best, but he developed bed sores. No one told us about it. I was there every day, and no one told us about it. They just left him. I think people just feel that, you know, he's old and he's going to die anyway, so they just leave them. You know, it's horrible. And it was a long journey, but when he was younger, he was baptized. He did believe, and then later years he said no. You know, he doesn't believe anymore and what have you. But he never. I would continuously talk about the Lord and quote scripture, you know, and he would never go against that, and he would never attack me or anything like that. He was very gentle with that. And now when this happened, you know, like I said, he couldn't talk. So for me, the Lord, I know he's in heaven, because the Lord just did so many amazing things. You know, I feel like a bit of a brat crying like this and feeling like this, because the Lord has been so good to us, and my dad died so peacefully, and I just can't imagine that someone will go so peacefully if he wasn't right with the Lord, you know. And I prayed for him, and I was there with him when he died, and I've always asked the Lord for that favor to just not have my dad die alone, and to have me there if it's in God's will. And it was beautiful, and it was perfect. And I think for me, it is just, and my uncle also prayed for him, and when he still had a bit of strength in his one hand, and he also told him, you know, just in your spirit, say after me. And he led him, and he did squeeze my uncle's hand. So there are signs like that he did accept the Lord and repented. I think for me, it's just, I so wished I could hear it. I so wish I could hear my dad say how much he loves the Lord. Or that's how I always imagined it. I imagined that we will be able to talk about the Lord, you know, and I never got to hear that. I never got to hear him say anything after the stroke. And for me, it's a walk of faith now to just really believe that, and that he's at peace and that he's fine. So if you can just pray for me about that. I think I've got so many terrible images as well in my head with all his sores, because I used to actually help the wound sister, you know, to dress his wounds. And so I've got a lot of, I went through a lot of trauma with that. And so for me, I don't have these beautiful images. And it was hectic seeing him die. And I just want peace. And I just, the Lord can just give me faith, you know. And if you can just pray for me. You're on mute, Michael.
You couldn't hear me. Oh.
Yeah, now I can hear you.
It was so good, too, Paula. I'm telling you. Hey, listen, I want you to do this for me. I want you to close your eyes and look, because this is what I saw. I saw you, your dad, and Jesus for eternity talking about Jesus. And that's what you're going to see. And Lord, I thank you for giving her peace in her heart. And not only that, giving her the faith to believe that you can do anything, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. They're not only going to be talking about Jesus, you're going to be talking to Jesus, both of you, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Everybody believe that? Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Father. Paula's going to get to see that. Experience that. Amen. And not into the not in the too distant future either. Okay, Dave. Julie, let me get Dave. He's been waiting patiently.
I agree with that, Paula. I think I'm pretty sure your dad's in heaven. Lord's not the kind of person to kick people out just because you think, well, they didn't, you know, follow the program like we all think we're supposed to be on. He really works with hearts, and I think your dad probably had a heart for the Lord, really. Even though he backed off a little bit, that doesn't have anything to do with how God does things. God knows people intimately, and he works on an intimate basis. And when people die, he's with that person intimately at that point. And he knows their hearts. Your dad wasn't running away from the Lord. He was just maybe looked like on a reserve status, but his heart wasn't against the Lord. You know, there's a difference. There's a antichrist spirit, which he didn't have. That's evident. I can guarantee it's in heaven. The Lord, and when we all go to heaven, when we all die, not everybody is, I don't think anybody leaves this earth on top of the world. We don't have all the answers. We're not totally there. And when we get to heaven, it's a new learning process all over again. There's a lot of things that we need to know and experience, and we're learning constantly and understanding about the salvation in heaven. It doesn't stop when we leave here. It's a continuation when we get to heaven. There's more. There's still more we're being exposed to and learning about. So this is just a process. Just like, and when we get to heaven, there's a more process yet too. So it don't feel like, oh, it's too late. No, it's not. It's not. That's not the way God operates, really. So your Father is in heaven. You'll see him. You will see him. All right, you're good. That wasn't what I was going to talk about. I just know that. Okay. I do know that.
Okay.
All right. What I was going to talk about was, the baptisms a little bit. Now, a couple really good examples now, and I'm glad Malcolm kind of brought this up, was he wasn't referring to probably Tobin Sondergaard. When Tobin, baptizes, he likes to immediately afterwards, if there's any demons, cast them out. And then he likes to get them speaking in tongues. He likes to get them baptized with the Holy Spirit. He likes to ramp it all up. He likes to get things going in a really positive, forceful way. And I remember Rex Ferrone talking. Rex Ferrone was talking about baptism once, or the group of people, and he was making this comment. And he was referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, actually, in this teaching. But he was talking about, he had a group of people, and he was talking about baptism. And they said, well, there was people right then and said, hey, well, we want to get baptized. And he says, well, no, I got to go home. He said, just got done doing a 2-hour teaching. He said, I have to go home. I have to see more. And said, well, we want to get baptized now. And he was trying to talk them out of it. And they finally, he finally gave in. He says, okay. Then they went to this back of the church and he was baptizing these people. And right afterwards, there was a guy that actually had a pain in his stomach, and they end up finding out it was a demon, and they cast that demon out, and then some other people start speaking in tongues. You know, it's a very powerful thing with his baptism. And if we look at Acts chapter 10, when Paul visited Cornelius, when he's preaching the gospel, all of a sudden the Gentiles started speaking in tongues. You know, it was just like this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit fell on them when he started hearing the gospel. And shortly after that, that's when Paul got there, you know, he was being grown up through the Lord about bringing the Gentiles into church then. And because, you know, we all have these blocks in our walk that we're overcoming, these like we're the God box, where I have religion boxes too, we're trying to come out of. And so here Paul's getting worked through this idea that the Gentiles are coming into the church also, and that's God's will. And then he baptized them without even having to touch or lay hands on them. So he is getting overwhelmed with that himself. And then he turns around, well, who's forbidden me for baptizing? Let's go out and we're going to baptize everybody now. You know, they got baptized after they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if we're trying to look at a progression of how things were done, in this first step, this step. Well, God doesn't work that way. He's not a respecter of persons. He works his own work, and we have to realize that. When God's working, that's how he's going to perform and do things, and we just have to go along with it. I stumbled too Tuesday when I was wondering, well, did she really interpret that tongue? But, you know, that's because I've never seen that done before. But God reminded me, I'm not a respecter of persons. He can work through and do whatever he wants with anybody, however he wants to do it, when he wants to do it. So we're trying to understand with our understanding how things work, and we don't realize God's the one doing the work. God's the one on the outside doing all this. And we just got to rely and trust him when he's doing these things, that he's working it all out for everybody's good. And how it works in individual lives too. So that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat. Okay, go ahead, Pat.
Hello. Well, I was going to mention something about my son when he passed away, but I'm just going to let that go maybe to another time. I was going to say that was good, Dave, about the thing that hit me. I was thinking about the scripture and the thief on the cross, of course, without baptism and that sort of thing. And I know that, like Dave's saying, we have a mind, and we live in a constant progression of events. So we seem to live in accordance with the sequence, and we know that noon comes after morning, and after morning afternoon is night, and all this happens in a progression. It's going to happen today or tomorrow. That's the way life is. It does it this way. You're born, then you're. But there's so many places in the scripture, and I think of Ephesians 2:8, Well, no, I don't want to go there. I was thinking about the thief on the cross, and I thought of those words that Jesus said to Martha when she was, you know, Martha and Mary were both, you know, kind of kicking up about the fact that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And it apparently didn't seem to faze the Lord so much, you know, that he had been dead, because, you know, God told him to go. And so God's words, you know, God told him to go and raise Lazarus. So it was done. It was already done. When he got the commandment, he knew it was done. But so that timing, that you know, he had been dead 4 days, but everybody knows, hey, you know, if somebody's going to be saved, they got to do it before they make that transition. Well, there's things happening in there, in that realm, in that 4 days. I'm sure that Lazarus wasn't, you know, without awareness. Something was happening there. Maybe we'll find out when we get to heaven. But Jesus said, after Martha was kicking up about it, she said, well, I know my brother is going to be raised. He's going to be in the resurrection in the last day. That was her sequence of events. He died. Now there's going to be a resurrection sometime up there. And so we just got to wait for that. And Jesus said to her, to Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believes on me, though he die, though he is dead, though he die, yet shall he live. Jesus knew that we could be dead and alive, and those two doesn't necessarily need to normal process as you live and then you die. But Jesus didn't have a problem with scrambling that stuff around. And death wasn't a barrier to him. It wasn't the, oh, well, we missed it all. It's gone. It's history. No, he said, I am the resurrection of the life. The thief on the cross believed and received Jesus, who is the resurrection. And I believe what Michael is saying is true. He died. And he died the very next moment. So I agree. I don't think we can put God in a box relative to these things. It's kind of where the Lord took me with my son, but I don't really have time to talk about that yet, but maybe we'll do that again some other time. But praise the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
I was thinking about some scriptures in the last, I don't know, 30 minutes or something, but something that's come into my mind that I wanted to share was the scriptures in John 6 and verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and him who comes to me I will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise him up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And another scripture that was coming to my mind was in John chapter 10, and where it talks about my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And I know David has shared, I think it's in Sovereign God, but I can't tell you where. I don't know if it's our authority in prayer chapter, what about how God uses, he uses prayers of his people to bring people into the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Somebody prayed for me, you know, because we're sin nature, you know. God uses our prayers to, you know, change our, you know, change. I know where I was before I got saved, and I know people prayed for me. So it's his sovereignty. God is merciful. He is gracious. He is love. He is good. He is sovereign. He knows who his elect are, you know, and Jesus showed us the will of his Father. He showed us, you know, his mercy. He showed us, you know, it's just believing. It's just believing and trusting God and his mercy and grace. You know, he's the one that gives us the grace to believe, and to believe for other people. You know, why else would we bother praying? You know, our prayers are not in vain. Yeah, he's sovereign. He knows. He knows who his elect ones are, and he doesn't lose any of them. Yeah, God bless you.
Amen. That's good. Good. Go ahead, Angelica.
Amen. Since that kind of brought to my mind how, you know, prayer transcends time, you know, because Jesus prayed that, like what you just mentioned there, that everything that was his, it would be, you know, his. And he said, I pray not for the world, but for, you know, those that are mine, basically, and paraphrasing. But those prayers and the prayers of, you know, the apostles and all the prayers from all the saints in the word, they prayed for the elect. And so those prayers are for us. And I mean, you know, you can listen to a teaching with some deliverance on it that was recorded so many years ago, and it still has that anointing on it, you know. I just wanted to say that.
Amen. It sure does. Okay. Anybody got anything we need to pray about? Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Go. I wanted to pray for Paula. I command the spirits of grief and sorrow out of her and off of her in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Father, one of the most wonderful ministries of the Holy Spirit is that he is our comforter. And I pray an outpouring on our beloved sister here just right now.
Amen.
Of the Holy Spirit to comfort her, to cleanse her and heal her of the painful memories. I also command that spirit of pain out of her, just emotional pain out of her in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for supernaturally lifting her up, filling her up, restoring unto her, Lord, even the joy of salvation to replace all of this, where this grief and this heaviness and this burden has been. And Father, I thank you for doing that for her. I know she's very precious in your sight. And I know you did that for me, Father, when my mom died and went through a lot of similar stuff. And that you're going to do it, and you're doing it even right now at this moment for Paula. Yes. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Thank you, Lord. Joy, peace, and rest in Paula, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the victory. Amen and amen. We just believe. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Ooh, my, I feel the love.
I'll just add to Marilyn's prayer. That's like we grieve, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope.
Amen.
Praise God, we have eternal life. This time we hear or here on earth is so short compared to what we have. We're going to be rejoicing all together very, very soon.
Amen. I propose a picnic first thing we get up there with Jesus. Fried bologna. Okay. Praise God. Okay, well, we're about out of time. Anybody else got a prayer request before we go?
I'll have jambalaya.
Okay, go ahead, Barry.
Yep. We have a neighbor down the way. Her name's Vicky. She's probably 60 or so, and we knew her from her coming to the food bank when we worked there. And, you know, see her in the neighborhood and things like this. She had a massive heart attack. When was it?
I think Wednesday.
Like Wednesday. And they had a flight to Portland. And she had, you know, a lot of work that had to be done. They operated on her, put in a bunch of stents. And I'd like to, Michael, maybe have you pray for her for healing and to for the Lord to draw her closer to himself in this.
Okay. Is she a believer, Barry?
She got baptized in the Baptist church like 15 years ago. Okay. But, you know, she didn't stay there. You know, there was nothing there. Yeah. And, you know, she's had her struggles. But she's always been very receptive to Barry and I. And she knows that we're believers. And somebody came down to the food bank on Wednesday to, because I think she wanted us to know about her situation and wanted us to pray for her.
What's her name?
Her name is Vicky.
Vicky?
Vicky. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lord, we lift up Vicky to you, this wonderful friend of Barry and Marilyn's. Lord, you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, I break the power of Satan over her right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you grant repentance to bring her back in to a real close walk with you, Lord. Barry and Marilyn have sown the seeds over these years. And Lord, we ask you that the fruit come forth now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that your glory is round about Vicky right now, healing her. In the name of Jesus, we come against this stroke, this spirit of infirmity on her. We command it to go in the name of Jesus and all the symptoms with it. In Jesus' name, I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get your hands off of Vicky right now in the name of Jesus. And we just praise you, Father, that she's, ooh, my. Thank you, Father, for your power going through her right now in Jesus' name and just fixing everything that went wrong. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that them demons is gone in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that you're going to get the glory. You're going to get the glory for Miss Vicky and her deliverance and her healing and her run to you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to call, ooh, my, call Barry and Merlin and tell them that Jesus touched my body and made me free. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Miss Vicky in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe it. How about y'all? Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my. How many of you know we have an open heaven? We got an open heaven, and we know that Miss Vicky is being healed even as we speak. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Missy?
This has been going through my mind, and I feel to pray about this. In the natural, my mom has a lot of things health-wise that makes her susceptible, or if she would get coronavirus, for it to be lethal to her. And I think she knows it, and whether she's able to admit it or not, this is just my sense. We have not had, she's just made a comment about having the low immunity, and I tried to speak faith to her and say, you know, just speak the blessings on yourself. You don't need, you know. Anyway, but I want to come against that fear. I know we have an open heaven right now, and I want to come against that fear. Lord, I ask you to put, I cast down that fear. I command that fear to go in the name of Jesus from my mom. Lord, put in her a faith that she get tired of living in fear. Lord, put a supernatural faith in her, Lord, that she would finally pick up the real good news, finally really start listening, remind her of all so many things that I've spoken to her, Lord. May she pick up your word and read and believe what she reads in there about healing, about people that's been healed. I've been telling her, Lord, that her and dad's health is going to be restored. And I believe that with all my heart, Lord. And Lord, I know we're going to go visit the visit soon, Lord. And I don't want my mom and dad, or my mom in particular, Lord, to come and see us with fear. I want you to instill the faith in her to come and see us. And I'm not going to pressure her, Lord. I just emailed her and said about that we were going to visit, Lord. And I just, and that I didn't speak it directly to her, but that we have to, put our lives on hold. And we just have to believe and trust in you, Lord, to watch over us and keep us, Lord. You know what I wrote, Lord. And she hasn't responded yet to that. And I don't know if she will, Lord. But I don't want to push my faith on her. I don't want her to do something in fear, because I know that subjects a person. Fear will bring something on them, Lord. And Lord, I do not want my mom in particular to come and see us if she is in fear, Lord. And I forbid the enemy to even do that to her. But Lord, I am asking you to instill a bold faith in her, Lord. A faith in her. Give her that gift of faith to believe. Enlighten the eyes of her heart, Lord. Give her a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you, Lord. I command those scales to be removed from her eyes in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I forbid that virus to come upon my mom in Jesus' name. I'm believing for her, Lord, and casting this all down until you give her the faith, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Well, we're out of time. Lord, I just thank you for another wonderful time that you led this Holy Spirit-led fellowship tonight, I guess. In Jesus' name, because we were going to talk about tongue, but I don't think we'll see Miss Tanya anymore. She's probably not going to come back. So let's pray for her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift her up, and we thank you, Father, for doing a work in her. delivered her from the things that have hindered her. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless her mightily. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.